thank you for joining us for today's virtual press briefing. Today, we're very honored to be joined by Peter Harrell, the Senior Director for International Economics and Competitiveness at the National Security Council, and Ruth Berry, the Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Information and Communications Policy in the newly established Bureau of Cyberspace and Digital Policy at the State Department. Before I turn over to our speakers for opening remarks, I have a few comments and on the procedures for asking questions. If you are dialing in by phone, you can join the questions queue by pressing *9 at any time. If you are joining us via the Zoom application or link, you may submit your questions at any time by clicking on the questions and answer tab and typing in your question. If you see a colleague ask a question that you'd like our speakers to answer, you can upvote it in the queue by clicking the like button to the right of that question. If you would like to ask a question live, you can click the raise hand icon at the bottom of the window. If you are using the Zoom mobile app on your smartphone, you can raise the hand by clicking the three horizontal dots icon more in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. In the pop-up tab, click raise hand. We will try to get to as many questions as possible in the 30 minutes that we have today, so please show your support and like the questions you'd most like us to cover. You can notify us of any difficulties by using the chat box or emailing us at thebrusselshub@state.gov. Just want to remind folks that this call is on the record and that this call is also embargoed until 10 o'clock Washington time, 1600 Brussels time. With that, let's get started. Senior Director Harrell and Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary Berry, thank you so much for joining us today. I'll turn it over to you for opening remarks.
Thank you, John, and thanks to the Brussels Hub for setting this up, and thanks to all of you in the press for joining this morning as we talk about an important set of steps President Biden is taking today to implement U.S. commitments under the deal that he and President von der Leyen announced back in March to have a new EU-US data privacy framework that is a successor to the Privacy Shield data transfer agreement that the European Court of Justice struck down in 2020. I know many of you covered the announcement of the deal in principle back in March, and over the last 6 months, we here in Washington have been working diligently to implement our commitments under this deal, which broadly are going to fall into two major categories. First, the president is issuing an executive order later on this morning that will provide new direction to U.S. intelligence collection activities to ensure that U.S. intelligence collection activities are in support of defined intelligence objectives and are tailored to support those objectives, addressing the concerns in the Schrems II court regarding the need to have assurances that intelligence collection activities be in support of defined objectives and tailored to those objectives. And then secondly, pursuant to presidential direction, Attorney General Merrick Garland will be signing regulations establishing a new data protection review court at the Department of Justice. This data protection review court is part of a multi-layer redress mechanism so that if citizens in Europe or other qualifying countries believe they have been lawfully surveilled outside the bounds of the executive order, they will have a effective redress mechanism to come in, hear their case, determine if there was any improper surveillance, and provide a full remedy if there was determined to be any improper surveillance. We think that the steps we are unveiling today to implement the deal in principle that was announced in March will fully address the concerns of the Schrems, of the ECJ in the Schrems II decision. We believe really represent a fundamentally different approach to the issues raised in the Schrems II decision. For example, on redress, where it is just a fundamentally different approach from a redress mechanism taken under the Privacy Shield framework. And we are pleased that the announcement today will allow the European Commission to move forward in the coming months with an adequacy decision that will restore legal certainty to transatlantic data flows that underpin trillions of dollars in commerce between the United States and the European Union. So I think this is a huge, an important issue for the transatlantic relationship, both at a government-to-government level, also very much at a level of benefiting businesses on both sides and citizens on both sides of the Atlantic. And with that, let me turn it over to my colleague at the State Department, Ruth Berry.
Thank you, Peter. I'll just reiterate that this is a very positive step forward to be in a position to implement this deal in principle between the US and the European Union, and really to restore that legal certainty necessary for businesses on both sides of the Atlantic to be able to grow and operate. And so I think we really look forward to working with the Commission over the coming months, as well as stakeholders across the European Union, including member states and DPAs, to help explain this new deal and this executive order and the steps that we're taking. So looking forward to restored transatlantic data flows. Thanks.
Thank you both. We will now turn to the Q&A portion of today's briefing. As a reminder, you may type in your questions at any time in the Q&A tab, raise your hand, or dial *9 if you dial in. Please remember to unmute yourself by pressing *6 on your phone. We do have a question right off the top from Vincent Manacourt from Politico. Vincent, would you like to ask your question?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so I sent a written question, but I can also say it out loud. So I want to know if the executive order introduces a reciprocal assessment. So like, would the US need to assess the EU too? Secondly, what powers does the US have, if any, if it's not satisfied with the EU safeguards presented? And thirdly, will the US demand that the EU present country-by-country safeguards or a kind of pan-EU list of safeguards? I ask this question because national security is a national, not an EU competence. Thank you.
So, Vincent, thank you very much for the question. And I think as you'll see in the executive order when it's published in about an hour, hopefully in about an hour and a half, in order for European Union citizens to have access to the two-level redress mechanism established by the EO, and I talked a bit about the Data Protection Review Court as part of a multi-level review mechanism, but it is actually two levels. There's a first level of review at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, where the CLIPO, the Civil Liberties and Privacy Officer, will conduct an initial review, and that can then be reviewed by the DPRC. In order to have access to that two-level redress mechanism, the Attorney General will need to designate the EU as a qualifying state or regional economic integration organization. So the EU will have to be designated to qualify for the protections of this in order for citizens to have access to this redress mechanism. And we think that'll happen. We think the Attorney General will be making these designations in the coming period of time. The decision to designate the EU will involve an assessment by the Attorney General as to whether the laws of the EU and or those of EU member states, each on matters within their areas of competence, have appropriate safeguards relating to their signals intelligence for U.S. persons' personal information that's transferred from the United States to the EU. So yeah, we will be doing an evaluation of this as the Attorney General makes this designation.
Thank you for that. For our next question, we'll go to Alex Raffolu Alex, please. Alex, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Right. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Thank you so much for doing this. Could you please speak to a little bit about how the executive order would seek to remedy concerns about the privacy and security practices of U.S. government agencies handling Europeans' data? And also, I can't help but ask about, you know, timing of this. You know, I know it was expected sometime late last month, but we're also ahead of the election in the U.S. coming up. Is there any relations between, you know, upcoming election and the timing of this order? Thanks so much.
No. Look, on timing, what I would just say is, obviously, when we announced this deal in principle back in March, it was extraordinarily complex agreement that is requiring, you know, us to do on our side here in the U.S. a ton of work. Not just to write the executive order. I mean, you know, writing an executive order is complex enough, but also to sort of make sure that the executive order and the intelligence, or to make sure that the intelligence agencies are actually going out and implementing and figuring out how to implement all of the parameters of the executive order. So, you know, when you're doing something like this, which has, you know, impacts on the operations of the intelligence agencies, obviously that takes some time. Plus, of course, actually getting all the regulations right to set up this new data protection review court, you know, which will have, you know, has protections for the judges so that they can't be, you know, fired except for cause, that has a special advocate to make sure that the, you know, has an advocate that'll have, you know, access to some of the underlying facts of the case to participate in the in the proceedings. You know, obviously setting all of this up takes some period of time and is complex undertaking on our side. So, you know, I think that you know maybe back in March, I think some of us probably had thought that maybe we'd be able to, you know, get this done a little bit quicker. But I think the only thing that has influenced our timing has been the need to work through really carefully and in a great deal of detail, you know, all of the new, you know, all of the direction on changes to intelligence collection activities, and then make sure we really are setting up the kind of extremely robust redress mechanism that we committed to back in March. So that's really the only thing that affects affected the timing. I think on your question about some of the changes, I mean, you'll see some of that a little bit later on. You'll see some of that a little bit later on this morning. But I think when you see the text of the EO with respect to intelligence collection, what I think you'll see, you know, generally speaking, is that the president is directing the intelligence agencies to make sure that they are collecting only in support of, you know, kind of needed identified and defined intelligence intelligence collection priorities, you know, things like terrorism, you know, the reasons we collect intelligence, and that then those agencies are the actual activities are tailored in support of those activities. There are also, you know, record keeping requirements and things like that. So I think what you'll see is a really robust set of protections here being directed by the executive order.
Thank you for that, sir. I'm going to go to a question that was just submitted by Catherine Stoop. She asks, do you expect the executive order to address concerns that have been raised by European courts and DPAs about the U.S. Cloud Act as a potential risk to European data?
Sorry, I realized I'd put myself on mute when you were speaking, John. Now, look, generally speaking, this executive order is, responsive to the ECJ's SREMS 2 decision and in order to ensure that we can have a new adequacy agreement between the U.S. And the European Union We obviously have a wide range of discussions with Europeans on other data issues and other tech regulation issues, but this executive order really is responsive to the Schrems II decision. I don't know, Ruth, if you have anything you want to add about some of our broader data discussions with Europe.
I think if it's okay, maybe I'll see if the Department of Justice wants to take the question about specifically about the Cloud Act.
Sure, Ruth. This is Peter Nguyen. I'm the Acting Chief Privacy and Civil Liberties Officer at the Justice Department. And the executive order that we're talking about today deals with signals intelligence, which is a national security activity. The Cloud Act questions you're raising deal with criminal justice. And we are in a lot of different discussions with our European partners, as well as with the Commission, in an attempt to try to address those issues as well. And I would highlight the work that we've been doing cooperatively, close working relationship we have with our European colleagues, not only at the Commission, but also at the member states in the OECD Trusted Government Access to Data process. And so it's hoped that the work we're doing will be, will address, eventually we're gonna have to address all these different issues that are coming up, and the ones you're raising aren't being addressed specifically by this process, but the cooperative way in which we've addressed this and worked through this, I think, is going to be a model for how we're gonna be addressing some of the other issues as well.
Thank you, sir. Vincent, can I ask, is your hand up again, or do you have another question?
I just had a follow-up question. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So on Peter's remarks on the Attorney General having to designate the laws of the EU as qualifying. So it safeguards relating to signals intelligence for U.S. persons on personal data that gets transferred from the U.S. to the EU. Is that correct?
Look, I think you'll see the details when the executive order comes out. But I think broadly, we are looking, the Attorney General will be evaluating, sort of whether there are, appropriate safeguards on, jurisdictions that will qualify for the U.S. for the U.S. Redress mechanism. I think the Attorney General will be looking at, are there safeguards for collection by those jurisdictions on U.S. Citizens, also looking at issues like whether the determination to have the jurisdiction qualify here is in the national security interest of the United States and that kind of thing. It's a couple of factors that the Attorney General will be looking at.
Just one last thing. I'm not aware. What are the conditions of this call? I think I missed that. Is it on the record, embargoed?
Call is on the record, embargoed until 1600 Brussels time.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Can I ask the group if there are any other questions from those dialing in or anyone else? It does not appear that, Alex, do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, thanks, John. Just very quickly, if I may, the potential implications of these to the, US advertisers and publishers, whose business rely on the use of European consumer data. Could you speak to that if possible? Thanks so much.
I think what I would say is certainly our, I think on both sides, both the European Commission and on the US side, the goal with this agreement is to help restore certainty to transatlantic data flows, which benefit, you know, companies of all kinds. I mean, if you look at the companies that were participating in the prior Privacy Shield agreement, you know, it was like 4,000 or 5,000 of them. Most of them were names that, you know, you and I had never heard of. You know, they're sort of small and medium-sized businesses, that, you know, maybe in the healthcare space or whatever, that have a couple of, you know, have some customers in Europe, but, you know, don't even necessarily have large presence in Europe. And we're trying to restore some legal certainty, you know, for companies like that, so they can operate across the Atlantic, and that companies can, you know, use data to underpin transatlantic commerce of all kinds. You know, this is an agreement, to address the issues that were raised in the SRAM II decisions, which were about U.S. signals intelligence collection activities and about redress mechanisms. You see, this agreement does not directly deal with issues of sort of commercial, commercial privacy, the privacy protections of individual firms.
Thank you, sir, for that. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Thank you for the questions. And to our speakers, thank you also for joining us. Shortly, we will send an audio recording of the briefing to all the participating journalists and provide a transcript as soon as possible. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can contact us anytime at the Brussels Hub, one word, at state.gov. Thanks again for your participation, and we hope you can join us for another press briefing soon. This is the end of this press briefing.